Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors. Dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, a journalist and lawyer who's moonlighting as a romance novelist. I'll talk with Hector Leroux. But first, the podcast Radio Diaries features first-person accounts from people who document their lives, people from all walks of life and many different parts of the world. The Radio Diary, 2 years in the life of a Saudi girl, recently received the Best Documentary Silver Award at the Third Coast Audio Festival, and it features the voice and the recordings of Majd Abdelghany. She began recording on her 19th birthday, and now she's getting her master's degree in genetics, development, and cell biology at Iowa State University, hoping to enter a PhD program at Iowa State, and she is with me now. Hello, Majd.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me how you got connected with Radio Diaries. How did you end up taking a recording device around with you for 2 years?
It started I used to like writing a lot, and one time I uploaded on a website called Cowbird a short story. That was part of a contest that Cowbird was holding in collaboration with Radio Diaries. So I wasn't really expecting anything, but afterwards, Sarah Kramer, the producer of Radio Diaries, contacted me and told me they'd like to have me as part of their, do a Radio Diary.
Wow. And what was your reaction?
I was surprised, but I thought it was, I don't know, just an opportunity that, I didn't know what would come out of it, but I didn't see a reason to say no.
Although it's a pretty big commitment. I mean, carrying around a radio device, obviously not 24 hours a day, but for 2 years of your life.
Yeah, yeah. At first, it was supposed to be just 1 year. And then towards the end of the first year, they told me, you know, we'd like to keep going. It is a big commitment, but at the time, I just thought, why not try it out? They didn't have any specific conditions on me. It was like, whenever you want to record, go ahead. You don't have to record anything in particular. Just try to record as much as possible.
And how much did you record during that time?
Well, it was over 100 hours, wow. Maybe 200 files of audio that they had to go through. And I feel really bad for them. I always say that.
No.
Because it was just, some recordings are really awkward. Like, they tell me to just keep the recorder running even if I'm not doing anything. So sometimes I'm eating and there are these chewing sounds. Or, I don't know. It's just, I feel bad. But
it's 100 hours, and then the radio diary that we get to hear is about a half an hour long.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to play a little bit from your radio diary. And this is a part where you're interviewing your brother. And I'm eager to hear your thoughts on this part of the radio diary. But it will give people a feel for what they hear when they listen to your diary.
Right.
So when do you think I should get married?
You should get married now.
Now?
You are capable of getting married, so you should get married now, yeah.
I will, inshallah, I will be capable in 3 or 4 years as well.
No, you are now capable.
Yes, and I was capable last year too.
Yes, so you are missing a lot of great opportunities.
Actually, I think I will miss great opportunities if I do get married. I feel like if I get married, I have to be responsible towards my husband, and so that would stop me from doing the things I want to do.
Being responsible for your husband is just very marvelous that you can, you will forget everything else.
Okay, wow. We're moving on. Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
When you will start cover yourself properly?
I already am.
So sometime you're covering your face, sometime not covering, sometime... So it's a bit like hypocrisy, or?
No, it's not. I usually cover my face. Like when I have makeup on, or when I'm going out and there are a lot of men in the place where I'm going, I cover my face. But sometimes I don't feel like it's needed.
So subjective.
Yes. What's the problem with that?
Not what I think, what the Prophet and what the Quran tell you to do and to govern.
We both know there are a lot of opinions on this by the scholars, so you can't just...
Now, according to the majority of the scholars, you should cover your body, excluding maybe, I could say, your hands, and maybe one hole for your eye. Yeah.
One hole for the eye? What is this? I would trip over everything. Oh, please. You would never say this if I weren't recording. You know that. You're trying to shock people.
That's a little excerpt from Majd Abdelghani's radio diary, 2 years in the life of a Saudi girl. And Majd, one of the reasons that you were chosen to do this radio diary was to give people insight into the life of a young woman in Saudi Arabia, which is a really restrictive culture for women. Mm-hmm. And your brother here is reinforcing probably people's worst assumptions.
Yeah.
And in your tone in responding to him, I can tell that you're not that upset. So tell me what's going on there.
I guess I'm not that upset because this is him. He's always out for drama. If someone does something at home, he's the first to tell on them. He just likes dramatic things and he likes dramatizing things. So I know that these are not his, I could say, real opinions, because he, for example, he doesn't force his wife to do any of these things. But a lot of the times I'm out with him in public and he never really seems to mind the way I dress or whether I'm covering my face or not. So I know knowing him, it's just his personality, because he knows he's going to be on air, or he thinks he might be on air, that he wants to shock people, like I said. It's just like him. To me, when I hear these things, it just makes me laugh because I know he's not really serious.
So how do you feel about that? I mean, 100 hours of recordings. How do you feel about that section of what you recorded being chosen for the radio diaries? Because, I think for a lot of the audience, maybe that's what they were expecting to hear a man in Saudi Arabia say.
Yeah, I guess I never really thought of it that way from an outsider's perspective. For me, when I hear it, it just sounds like he's joking. But when you say it like that, yeah, I agree. That's probably what they're expecting to hear. But I hope that from my tone and the things I said to him, and then how the story plays out in the end, it shows that that's not what's necessarily happening.
Yeah.
And I stress that this is my own experience, and this is my own story. There might be other families in Saudi Arabia where a brother might say this and actually enforce it. And if there is no father in the family, then legally he would be within his... no one would really say anything if he does that. So,
because he would be the legal guardian of his sister.
Exactly, yes. So it's sad, but I don't know anyone personally who has gone through that in my circle of friends and people I know. And it was certainly not my experience.
Well, tell me a little bit about your family, because you are obviously a very accomplished, intelligent woman. You have a lot of ambitious goals in science. Of course, now you're at Iowa State University and you're hoping to pursue a PhD in genetics. So tell me a little bit about your family, because, again, you're already upsetting a lot of the stereotypes that a lot of people have about women in Saudi Arabia.
I hope I continue to do that. My family is my inspiration to be a scientist. My mom, she's a computer engineer, and she's a professor right now in a university at Saudi Arabia, and she's affiliated with MIT, working as well on UAVs that can to help in search and rescue missions after natural disasters. So she's doing great work, and I've always admired her determination and her perseverance in pursuing her career as a scientist. And my dad is a psychiatrist, so I've always grown up in a family that was surrounded by science books and a family that loved reading. And that's how I really became passionate about science and wanted to pursue it as well. I have four brothers. And even though my oldest brother is the one most featured in the podcast, I'm actually closest to my second oldest brother. That's something I wish was more came
across a
yeah,
little bit
in,
more.
In the yeah. podcast. Yeah, he's just someone I can talk to about anything really. And then my two younger brothers. All of my brothers are also in sciences. And now my younger brother has recently gone into med school, and my youngest is about to graduate from high school. So,
and I think probably I was surprised once I heard your voice. Your English is extraordinarily good.
You
speak like a native English speaker. Tell me what in your background gave mm-hmm. you that opportunity?
When my mom was getting her PhD, she moved to London to get it there at the, forgot the name of the university, but we stayed there for 5 years, and I think that's probably where I picked up my English.
I was surprised to learn in listening to the radio diary how common it is for women in Saudi Arabia to pursue higher education. That seems to be something that is accessible to a lot of women. Is there yeah. a particular community of women that tend to move in that direction?
I would say that's the general direction that women go for. You might have heard, actually, there are more women pursuing higher education than men in Saudi Arabia. A lot of women are keen on furthering their education and on getting jobs after they graduate. So I think it's just in general, that's what things are like, and except in very small minority.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking to Maj Abdulghani, and many listeners are familiar with her voice and her story. Her radio diary, 2 years in the life of a Saudi girl, recently received the Best Documentary Silver Award at the Third Coast Audio Festival. You can hear it on the podcast Radio Diaries. She's now studying at Iowa State University, and we will continue our conversation in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up later in the hour, I'll talk with a journalist and lawyer who's moonlighting as a romance novelist, Hector Leroux, coming up in a few minutes. Right now, I'm talking with Maj Abdulghani. She has recently been heard on the Radio Diaries podcast with her diary, 2 years in the Life of a Saudi Girl. She recorded for 2 years of her life, starting on her 19th birthday, and her radio diary recently received the Best Documentary Silver Award at the Third Coast Audio Festival. She's now studying. She's getting her master's degree at Iowa State University in genetics, development, and cell biology with the hopes of entering a PhD program. And Maj, before the break, we were talking about higher education for women in Saudi Arabia and the fact that there are more women pursuing higher education than there are men in Saudi Arabia right now. And you take us to your university in your radio diary, and this is a segregated educational system. So you're entirely among women, or you were entirely among women when you were getting your undergraduate degree?
Yeah, definitely. When you go inside the university, it's just you take off your headscarf, and in some cases, you're not even allowed to keep it on. You just, it's all women, the people who are the professors, the people selling things, the janitors are all ladies. If there is a male professor teaching something, they have to come through usually the basement, and that would be a specific mixed area where the girls can get taught by the male professor, and then they go back to the female-only areas.
Interesting. So do you have a feeling about the quality of education? Do you feel like education for women is equal to education for men?
In terms of the the majors that are available, it's not very equal. Only a few universities in Saudi Arabia offer engineering for women, for example. But in terms of the quality for the majors that are shared by them both, I think it's pretty similar.
I want to play a part of your radio diary. This is where you got an internship and you're working in a co-ed lab. And where did you go for this internship?
It was in King Abdullah University for Science and Technology. It's on the coast of to the west of Saudi Arabia. This university is specifically aimed to attract international students and faculty in the hope that it would further science in Saudi Arabia.
All right, let's listen.
I am working with Philip, a man who is a PhD at the lab. Can you explain briefly what we're doing?
We're comparing several methodologies to isolate DNA, RNA, and proteins.
This is a mixed university, and the rules that apply to the rest or to most of Saudi Arabia don't apply here.
So you're recording our experiments?
Yes. Will it work? Will it not?
Yep. Stay with us.
Tune in. At...
after the break.
I don't mind being in an environment where there are men, but it's strange for me. There are lines, obviously, that I don't cross. I didn't shake hands with them. I made sure we didn't have any physical contact. In terms of my family, they've accepted the fact that, like, this is my field of work. And so they trust me. There we go. Philip!
Yeah.
It's going to work.
Yeah, inshallah.
It will. Seriously, it's going to work.
That's another moment from Majd Abdelghany's radio diary, 2 years in the life of a Saudi girl. And you know, listening to the social structure that you had to work within to work with your male colleagues, I'm curious about what it's like to come and work in the United States. How does that feel in our very, very different culture?
I guess it's certainly different, but I don't know, I adapted. I don't know, it's just, it's different, but it's not so different that I couldn't, I don't know, fit in, I guess. It's just, you know, they're my colleagues and we're all working towards... science, we're all studying. It's, I don't know.
Do you feel like you have to continue to follow some of the social norms that you grew up with in Saudi Arabia? Would you avoid shaking hands with a male colleague in Ames?
I would if they didn't offer first. If they extend their hand to shake, I would shake it back, but I wouldn't initiate the handshaking. I do believe that it's better to avoid physical contact between male and female. This is just part of my religion, I would say. But I don't feel like that affected the academics of studying, I guess. We can still have study groups and discuss our research together. To me, it's just the only real difference is that I wear a headscarf in the university. The rest is all, you know, their colleagues, regardless of their gender.
In part of your radio diary, when you're talking about going to university, you talk about not just covering your hair or your head, but also covering your face, and how you said that it's kind of liberating to do that as you walk in public. Why does that feel liberating to you?
I guess I like the anonymity of it. I don't know, it's just liberating in the sense that I don't have to worry about if I just woke up and my face is just puffy or bloated or whatever. I'm all covered up. The only thing that's showing is my eyes. I don't know, I don't mind it at all. To me, I just don't have to worry about what I look like.
I want to play another little part from your radio diary. And this is really the only part of the radio diary where you sound frustrated, and you're taking a moment to express some of your frustration. This is about your parents' opinion of you pursuing one of your other passions, which is karate. Let's listen to that.
My dad seems to want me to stop taking karate classes. He's been saying that for a long time, but last night he was more insistent than usual. And he said, karate, it's just not natural. He probably thinks it's going to throw my femininity out the window or something. I don't know. And my mom doesn't like it either, because I've been doing push-ups, so my arms are a little more toned now. My parents, what they want me to do is sit in the kitchen and learn how to cook for a future husband that I don't even know if I'm going to get married to. And that really, really annoys me. I don't want to be cooped up in the house. I want to be able to walk alone in the street and laugh loudly with my friends and not worry about how it looks or being able to breathe because I have to wear my niqab. I love Saudi. It sounds corny, but it's my country. It's where I was born and where I was raised, you know, all that cliche stuff. But I don't want to be here right now.
Another moment from the radio diary, 2 years in the life of a Saudi girl. And I've heard that you wish that this part had not been included in your radio diary. Why do you feel that way?
Well, it's certainly not the only time I was frustrated with my parents. There are lots of times, as I imagine, in every family that a teenager is frustrated by their parents. My dad never liked me doing karate, but I think that's part of why the way he was brought up and what he thought was right for me. He was never doing it to ruin my life, like I thought. And they never really wanted me to stay in the house and learn how to cook. They've always encouraged my educational goals and encouraged me to pursue my career, just as my mom is. So for me, I'm frustrated, I wish that part wasn't there because I don't think it portrays my parents in the light that I actually see them in. That was one time where I was really frustrated about my dad not letting me do or not wanting me to do karate, which I continued to do in the end. And, you know, I was just venting my feelings. I didn't think it would actually end up there.
The frustration that you're expressing there sounds so similar to me to women athletes who I've interviewed who were American women athletes who were kind of at the forefront of their sports here in the 1960s and the 1970s, where they were crossing a lot of boundaries. It didn't sound to me as much as like you were frustrated with your parents as with your role as a woman.
Yeah, I guess you could say that's true. But I would also say that things are definitely changing. My entire karate class was made up of Saudi girls, and the trainer who taught us was also a Saudi woman who I interviewed, actually, but it didn't make it in the podcast. And we all really enjoy it, and we all want to continue doing it. So I think things are definitely, there's definitely a shift in how these things are being received by other people in the community.
Are you doing karate in the United States?
Actually, I'm not. I think I was more comfortable in a female-only setting. And there's no karate classes at Iowa State. But I just feel like I would be more comfortable if it was all females and not in a mixed class.
Now, one of the major pieces of tension that we hear throughout your radio diary, and again, you were 19 years old, 19th birthday when you started this. This is a time when a lot of Saudi Arabian women get married. And throughout the whole thing, you're getting proposals and some pressure from your parents. And you're scared thinking about all the things that your hopes and your dreams, your vision for yourself as a scientist and what marriage would mean. And then there's this plot twist where you do accept one of those proposals. Mm. What made you decide that you could go forward in that direction?
Well, first, I don't feel like I was pressured by my parents in any way. They always just told me about the proposals, and then, you know, it was up to me always to decide whether I wanted to or not. But if there was someone proposing, they'd tell me about it. In terms of the last one, the last marriage proposal, I mean, Anmar, my husband, when his family was trying to find me, they told me he wants someone who loves science. And that was something I guess I was thinking about that I want to have in a potential husband, that he would be someone who's passionate about science, just as passionate as I am. And I guess when I met him, that I felt that he was, I felt that from him. So it worked out.
Now, the two of you only met face to face twice before you were married. Did you have an opportunity to correspond or to talk?
Yeah, we were talking online for about 6 months, and then before we met again. And after that, the marriage contract was signed. But in Saudi, this is more like a dating period where we're not really living together, but we get to go out and get to know each other better. It's just under the safety of a marriage contract, I guess.
So you did get an opportunity to get to know each other.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to know each other pretty well, I would say, for a year.
And I want to play just a little bit of your conversation, one of your conversations, but the radio diary went a little bit longer, so we could get a little bit of a window into your marriage as well. But let's listen to a little bit of a conversation with your husband about what you both want from marriage.
Do you think our marriage would be different than most Saudi marriages?
I think so, yeah.
Why?
Like, what's the role of the wife? I don't like it when the husband just tells his wife, go cook something.
Ugh, I hate that too. Yeah. Oh my God.
What I want is more of a partnership.
Okay, good. But you wouldn't say that that in the end you get to decide?
No.
If we ever disagree?
No, I think you'll be the one who decides.
Why do you think that?
You're stronger than me.
What do you mean I'm stronger than you? What does that mean?
I know. You when you argue, you're a good debater.
So just a moment of conversation between the two of you. And I know that you've gotten a lot of people who have listened to your radio diary, who've made comments. We love to comment online. Have you been surprised by how people responded to your decision to get married? I mean, that's a lovely exchange between you and your husband. But I mean, some people have been very critical, saying, no, you yeah. shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, oh, I'm disappointed. I wanted her to be independent, but I don't see how my marriage reduced my independence. And some people thought I was still forced to marry him, which wasn't the case at all. It's really the best decision I've made in my life so far. So I was surprised, but a lot of people also just congratulated me and wished me the best.
And both of you are studying at Iowa State right now.
Yeah, he's getting his PhD in electrical engineering.
What are your hopes for the future?
I hope that we manage to further science in Saudi Arabia and, you know, make it a major focus in the country.
So you intend to get your PhD and then return to Saudi Arabia?
That's the current plan, but we'll see how things go.
How do you feel about, in retrospect, having opened up your life like you did? I think it's a tremendous gift to all of us who had the opportunity to listen. But how does it feel on your side? You did something that made you very vulnerable.
Yeah, I definitely feel exposed. And every time I hear a segment being played, I just try not to cringe. It's very difficult for me listening to the different parts. I just feel, you know, like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, why do I sound like this? I just try not to think about it too much. It is definitely an exposing experience.
What do you hope people take away from listening to it?
I hope they take away that my experience as a Saudi woman was generally a happy one. I'm proud to be from Saudi Arabia, and I love my country, and that I hope to go back and improve what needs improvement.
Maj, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you.
Majd Al-Mughani, her radio diary, 2 years in the life of a Saudi girl, can be heard on the Radio Diaries podcast and on their website. And it recently received the Best Documentary Silver Award at the Third Coast Audio Festival, which is a very big honor. She is studying at Iowa State University now, pursuing her master's degree in genetics, development, and cell biology, and hoping to enter a PhD program at ISU.